You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
This is Red Brown, Captain America, at the Flopcast. Take care.
Live from Chicken Town, this is the Flopcast, episode 514.
On Flopcast.net.
Yes, yes. Hello, Cornflake.
Hi. Hey, hello, Kevin.
We have a correction show today. I was wrong about something.
Okay.
We're going to correct it, and then that's the whole show.
When you said there's a correction show today, I was sure I messed something up.
I could see where you might leap to that assumption, but it was me this time. We'll get to that in a minute. But before the correction stuff, how about the part you always get right, National Whatever Day?
National Whatever Day for March 20th. It'll be World Frog Day, Kevin. We're celebrating frogs on March 20th.
Oh, that's good.
I think we can answer an important question on the show that I think a lot of people have. And by a lot of people, I mean me.
Yeah.
Can you tell the difference between a toad and a frog?
I think toads are angrier, and that's it. That's the difference.
That's the huge difference between toads and frogs. Well, what I have learned in studying up for World Frog Day is that all toads are frogs, but not all frogs are toads.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, toads are those dry, bumpy ones that hop around on land. I used to catch toads all the time. When we were kids, there were toads hopping around everywhere, and we'd catch them.
You don't see them as often now.
No, where did all the toads go?
I don't know. I feel like I was catching them all the time as a kid.
Yeah. Now, do you think, are they being wiped out, the population, or are they up to something? Are they hiding somewhere, plotting against me?
I think they're hiding. They're probably hiding from kids who are like I was when I was little. I would find them and think they needed water, and I'd put them in the little swimming pool we had in the yard. They probably hated that.
Yeah, we didn't put them in water, but we would catch them. We wanted to watch them hop around for a while, so we'd catch one and we'd put it in a bucket and then leave it there for a while so we could look at it.
No wonder they don't come out anymore.
Yeah, I think we were catching the same toads over and over again, so they knew the routine. They're like, oh, I'm going back in the bucket. Terrific. Like, they have a legitimate problem with me, and so I feel like they're plotting their revenge as we speak.
They could be. But in the meantime, some of them are popular, particularly fictional frogs.
Who are the top frogs? Let's figure this out.
Well, I figure Michigan J. Frog has to be one of them.
Absolutely. That's probably your top frog in the business, Michigan J. Frog from the classic cartoon One Froggy Evening. He's got to be way up there. There's Dig'em, the frog from one of those sugary cereals.
Yeah, Honey Smacks.
Honey Smacks, okay. I get a bunch of those, like, which one had the bear, which one had the frog, I don't know.
I think the bear was Honey Crisp.
Yeah, there were several cartoon animals just pumping the kids full of sugar. One of them was a frog.
You'd put Michigan J. Frog above Kermit?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
But, yeah, that's true. There is Kermit as well, I suppose. You got Freddy the Frog from the New Zoo Review.
That's right.
A giant, terrifying frog.
Wasn't there a frog in H&R Puff and Stuff? Judy, talented frog who sings and dances?
Yeah, of course. That's a good one. They're everywhere. Is that all of them?
I like Jeremiah, personally.
From the song?
Yeah, he always has a mighty fine bottle of wine.
I think I've had enough of that one.
And for Futurama fans, there's Hypnotoad.
Oh, I don't know that one. I never got into Futurama.
It's freaky.
But in comics, there is the Toad. X-Men comics have, there's a mutant called the Toad.
Oh.
There was also a comic book called Man Frog, and I don't remember anything else about it. I'm guessing it was not very good. There was a horror movie in the 70s called Frogs, in which just millions of frogs just appeared everywhere for no reason.
That is freaky. There is Frogger, the video game.
Well, of course. Man, good catch. Big fan of Frogger. There's also Frogs and Flies for all your video game frog needs. That's a good one. Is that it?
Isn't there a combination frog and chicken that we've talked about on the show before?
Yeah, the chog.
The chog, yes.
That's from a comic book called Chew.
That sounds right.
You came prepared with a fine list of frogs.
Well, I imagined there wasn't going to be much else to say about them.
We don't have to do a top 4.5 frog list someday, because we're just knocking them all out right now, here in whatever day.
Talking about all the frogs. Yeah. Yes.
All right. I'm sure we're still missing a bunch of big ones, though. So, people, tell us your favorite frogs. In honor of Frog Day.
On the 20th.
Okay. We will absolutely celebrate our weird, creepy, slimy frog friends.
That's how I like it.
But meanwhile, we have more important business for today. A correction, as I mentioned. So last week was we left the whole show up to the supercomputer. Remember, we were randomly generating subjects through the supercomputer.
I have been awaiting the explosion ever since. How is the supercomputer going?
I am reporting from the rubble of what remains of Chickentown Studios after the explosion that followed last week's episode. But what happened is we had our 80s book, Ranking the 80s, that giant book of 80s pop songs, and we randomly selected the song Say You're Wrong by Julian Lennon.
I do recall that, yes.
Which is a song I had not thought about in many, many years, and I know the song, but then I started thinking about the music video, and I described the video a little bit. Well, it turns out I was thinking of a completely different Julian Lennon music video for a whole different song.
Another obscure Julian Lennon song?
Yes, that was my mistake. Because I looked up the video for Say You're Wrong, and it was not the video I remembered. It was just Julian Lennon's like wandering around on railroad tracks.
Oh, yeah, that is something different from what you described.
He's hanging around a train station and walking down the tracks, that kind of thing. That's the video.
We could have talked about him on our train show.
Ed would be so excited. Ed, our resident train expert, about the Julian Lennon video for Say You're Wrong. So anyway, then I flew into a panic, of course, because I thought, well, what in the world am I remembering? I remembered a super speed, fast motion video. Everybody's running in and out of a giant apartment. And there were several famous people pop in and out making cameo appearances, including Michael J. Fox. There was not a train track in sight. So I looked into other Julian Lennon songs and I figured out what happened. I was thinking of the video for another, even more obscure Julian Lennon song, a song called Stick Around.
Which I have no recollection of at all.
Yeah, I remember the song and I remember the video. Obviously, I know I saw the video many, many times back then. It was probably on V66. This is like early 1986. I'm watching MTV and V66. All the time. But I had you pop on the video right before the show. So now you have seen Stick Around. What'd you think?
You're right. It does go pretty fast. It's like it's on fast forward.
That's a crazy video. I mean, it has a story to it. It's Julian and his girlfriend break up at the beginning. And then other girls keep moving in. And like they rearrange and redecorate. New furniture keeps moving in and out. Then he breaks up with a series of three or four girls over the course of the video. And various other crazy things happen throughout. Then he gets the old girl back at the end. The original girlfriend shows up again for the big happy ending. So there were indeed some cameos, as I recalled. Michael J. Fox was indeed there. You saw Michael J. Fox. This is Family Ties era. This is Back to the Future era. TV star, movie star, Michael J. Fox. Perhaps not coincidentally, he shows up at the same time as the bikini girls.
No kidding. He got the cushiest part of that job. Sit on the couch with bikini girls.
I remembered that there was a girl in a bikini. It turns out there were like three or four of them.
That's also when lunch came in the video because there was pizza.
It's girls in bikinis and pizza. And was that like in Michael J. Fox's contract? He's like, I'll do the video. Here's what I'm going to need.
And they made it work.
That's what he got. Yeah. So there was a little Michael J. Fox cameo. Other cameos, though, throughout, which you may not have recognized a couple of these people. But, well, for one thing, evidently Martin Cove, John Kreese from The Karate Kid.
What? Martin Cove?
According to Wikipedia, he's one of the moving guys, evidently, because you can't really see him, but there's a couple of guys that move the furniture in and out. So Wikipedia says Martin Cove is in this thing, so he must be one of those moving guys. But who would know? The other famous guy in the video is one of the girls leaves with, like, a bodybuilder dude.
Oh, yeah. How'd he get into the house?
Good question. That's Joe Piscopo from Saturday Night Live.
Oh, nice.
This is post-SNL, of course. Joe had been off SNL for a few years at this point, and he'd done Johnny Dangerously, you know, the Michael Keaton comedy. Yeah, somewhere in the 80s, he just became obsessed with bodybuilding. And suddenly, like, there's this freaky, muscle-bound Joe Piscopo popping up here and there, including in this video, in which one of the girls just leaves with bodybuilder Joe Piscopo.
Stealing Julian's girl.
This might have been the last time anybody saw Joe Piscopo. Now, the other famous person in this video is the original girlfriend from the beginning and the end of the video. You might not have recognized her, but that's somebody that we've talked about on the Flopcast several times. We talked about her in our Facts of Life flop fight and in our Brat Pack flop fight. That was Jamie Gertz.
That was Jamie Gertz?
Yeah, that's Jamie.
Whoa. Mind blown. I did not recognize her.
This would have been, post Facts of Life, of course, but just before Lost Boys, I suppose. Yeah, so fun cast. Great video. Just a crazy fun video. Just one of those ultimate no fooling around mid-80s music videos. And I completely forgot the song until I heard it again.
I just heard the song, and I can't imagine why you might have forgotten it, Kevin.
Yeah, I remembered the song when I heard it, but obviously I got my videos mixed up. Julian Lennon, I looked him up. He had 4 top 40 hits. This was the least known of them. Stick around. This peaked at number 32. Say You're Wrong peaked at 21. Then his first songs were Valotte, which went to number 9, and Too Late for Goodbyes was his biggest hit, which went to number 5.
That's the only one I remember.
I remember there was a parody on Dr. Demento as well called Too Late to Get Fries.
That sounds like a tragedy.
It was not the best, but I liked it. But we were wondering last week whatever happened to Julian Lennon. So I took a quick look into that as well today. And Julian did keep releasing records once in a while, but he got into photography and movies and documentaries and things. So he's produced a lot of like environmental themed documentaries. There's some causes that he's involved in, environmental stuff. So that's what he's been busy with, evidently.
That's cool. And we get a hint of the direction of his life whenever he took out his camera during that music video.
Yes, he started with Polaroids of bikini girls, him and Alex P. Keaton, and then eventually moved on to all sorts of photography and film work.
It was foreshadowing.
Yeah, so Julian Lennon still out there, but for our purposes, we were looking at Stick Around, which peaked at number 32 in early May of 1986. So I figured as long as we were in that era, as we like to do occasionally, I thought, let's just zoom in and see what else was happening that week. Just to look at movies really quick, I've got the top 10 movies here. Number 10 was Pretty in Pink.
I know that one.
Oh, come on. There's Molly with John Hughes.
Gonna have your ducky.
Number 9, Police Academy 3, Back in Training. I did not see that one.
Me neither.
I think I was good after part 1. I thought, all right.
One was enough.
Police Academy 1 was way more than enough for me. I did not bother with the sequels. Number 8 was Gung Ho. Gung Ho is a fun movie, although problematic in its way. I did see it at the time, Gung Ho with Michael Keaton. Number 7 was Critters. That was like alien creatures from space, I believe. Never saw it. Number 6, Dangerously Close, which is a movie I have no memory of whatsoever.
Me neither.
Set at a high school. It stars no one that I'd ever heard of, I think.
Weird.
It's a canon picture, which means probably not the best. But yeah, it was the number 6 movie that week, and I do not remember it at all. Number 5 was The Money Pit.
I remember The Money Pit.
That's Tom Hanks and Shelley Long buy a house, right?
And fall through the floor.
They crash through the floor. That's all I know about that movie. Number 4, Blue City. That's Ally Sheedy. 3 is another movie I don't remember at all. Fire with Fire.
I have no idea what that is.
Yeah, Fire. I had to look it up. I don't remember this at all. Fire with Fire. It was a Catholic schoolgirl meets up with a kid from a prison camp, like some kind of juvenile detention center or something, and they run away together.
Wow.
The girl is Virginia Madsen. She's good.
Yeah.
Virginia's in it. Jean Smart from Designing Women is in this. Tim Russ from Star Trek. So, got some stars in this thing. Kari Wuerr from Remote Control. pre-remote control Kari? Weird. What a cast.
And yet, I don't remember a thing about it.
I never heard of this thing. But it was at number three. Number two, JoJo Dancer, Your Life is Calling. That was a Richard Pryor thing. And number one was Short Circuit.
Well, of course it was.
Look at Ally Sheedy dominating.
Yes, indeed.
Ally starred in two of the top four movies this week.
We couldn't get enough Ally Sheedy. I, for one, still can't.
Yes. The Queen of May 1986. There's Ally Sheedy. All right, that's what was happening at the movies anyway. If we take a quick peek at TV as well. I just landed on Saturday night, May 10th, 1986, just to pick one night from this week. And what was on that night? We have Mr. Sunshine. We talked about Mr. Sunshine before. That was a sitcom starring Jeffrey Tambor.
Yeah.
And he was a blind man.
I remember talking about it.
Yeah.
I still don't remember having seen it, but I do remember discussing Mr. Sunshine.
That did not last long. I remember that one. I don't remember the show they paired it with, because right after that is a show called Joe Bash. And I don't know this one at all. I looked up Joe Bash. It was only around for a couple of months. A comedy, sort of, about a grizzled, miserable police officer named Joe Bash.
Sounds like a good time.
Nobody liked it. It starred Peter Boyle, who did a lot of stuff. Peter Boyle, I think people would know from Everybody Loves Raymond. He was the father on that, I believe.
Oh, right.
Well, back in 86, he was Joe Bash. I don't remember that at all. After that was Miss Hollywood 1986.
What was that?
I don't know. A beauty pageant, I guess.
Oh.
But it's not Miss America. It's not Miss USA. It's Miss Hollywood.
Whatever that means.
A super low-rent beauty pageant, I guess, was running that Saturday night on ABC. CBS, it looks like it was all kind of action crime kind of stuff, because it was Crazy Like a Fox, which I don't really remember at all. I know the name, never saw it. Airwolf, that was your super helicopter show, and Magnum PI after that. NBC, meanwhile, it was all comedies. I would have been on NBC that night, though, because they were showing Gimme a Break, followed by The Facts of Life. This Facts of Life, this was The Apartment Part 2. This was the end of Season 7, I believe. And this was Tootie and Natalie are moving into their own apartment together.
I'm sure I watched it, and I'm sure I watched it that night.
That would have been a good one. Golden Girls and 227 were on after that.
That's exactly where I was on Saturday night. Those are all the things that I watched.
There you go. Remington Steele rounded out the night on NBC. Oh, until late night, because it's Saturday night. So Saturday Night Live, of course. And I did not recognize the name of the host of SNL that night. It was hosted by Katherine Oxenberg.
Not a name I know.
I don't know that name at all. I had to look it up. She was on Dynasty.
Oh, that would be why.
Yeah, I didn't watch Dynasty. I never heard of this lady, but she was hosting SNL. The music guest was Paul Simon with Ladysmith Black Mambazo.
Ooh, man, do I wish I could have stayed up for that.
This was, you know, Graceland era Paul Simon. I remember that he did a lot of stuff with Ladysmith Black Mambazo back then. This would have been the end of the 85-86 season of SNL. So this was that crazy season when Lorne Michaels came back and had that weird cast with like Anthony Michael Hall and Randy Quaid and Joan Cusack and Robert Downey Jr. That was that year. It was a rough year.
But at least they had Paul Simon.
All right. Maybe not the greatest night in TV history, but that's what we had. May 10th, 1986. Now, finally, of course, let's go back to music, because music is what got us here, thanks to Julian Lennon. So Julian was at number 32 this week, which was the highest position he would reach with his final top 40 song, Stick Around. Despite the fantastic video, the fantastic star-studded Stick Around music video, the song itself only reached 32.
Surprising, really.
But let's jump up to the top 10, because this is a no-fooling-around middle-of-the-80s top 10.
Oh, I am sure the lineup is stellar.
Here we go. At number 10, well, Pretty in Pink was the number 10 movie. Number 10 song from Pretty in Pink was If You Leave by Orchestral Maneuvers in the Dark.
Oh, yeah.
Beautiful song. OMD. They were good.
Love me some OMD.
Absolutely. The number 9 was Harlem Shuffle by the Rolling Stones. This was not the Rolling Stones' finest hour.
No, it wasn't.
Well, speaking of Saturday Night Live, they did a commercial parody once for a compilation album called Songs That Ruined Everything. And as I recall, it included Rolling Stones' Harlem Shuffle at number 9 this week. Number 8 was Miami Sound Machine, Bad Boy.
Oh, yeah.
I could never get into Gloria Estefan and Miami Sound Machine.
I liked Miami Sound Machine. I did not like that song.
Everybody else loved them. Was she in, like, cat makeup in this video?
She might have been.
Like in the musical Cats? Am I making that up in my mind? For some reason, I'm picturing Gloria, like, in makeup. I hope we don't have to do another music video correction show next week. But we might. Number 7. Here's a good one. Phil Collins, Take Me Home.
Yes, I would say this top 10 is redeemed.
Beautiful song. Number 6. Well, here's somebody that you and I saw in concert just a few years ago at one of our wacky 80s shows that we went to. One of the featured acts was Tony Lewis, the late, great Tony Lewis from The Outfield. Because here's Your Love by The Outfield.
Yeah, and he did that song that night, I remember.
Oh, of course he did. That would have been something of a problem if he didn't play Your Love. They had a few hits back then, but this was the big one, of course. Number 5, somebody you've seen in concert. I have not, but here's Janet Jackson, What Have You Done For Me Lately?
When you said I saw them and you didn't, I figured it had to be Janet.
Had to be Janet. Janet was massive in 1986. Number 4, Van Halen, Why Can't This Be Love? This was the first single from the Sammy Hagar era of Van Halen. I like this one.
Well, you're a Sammy Hagar guy.
Yeah, we've been through this. I go Hagar, you go Roth.
I do. Diamond Dave.
That's why we can't be in the same room anymore.
Nope.
Has nothing to do with the pandemic. Number 3 is Whitney Houston, Greatest Love of All.
And it was either on its way to number 1 or its way down. That was a massive chart topper.
Yeah, Whitney was already a megastar at this point, certainly. Number 2, Addicted to Love, Robert Palmer.
This is the one with the crazy video with all the women with their hair slicked back, right?
Yeah, this has all the dancing zombie girls, yes.
Yes.
But then he made like 2 or 3 more videos after this one with the same thing. Right? He just kept making the same video again and again for other songs.
He found a formula. In his mind, it worked.
Oh, yeah.
So much hair gel got used.
This was the original Dancing Zombie Girl Robert Palmer song, though. Yes, Addicted to Love. And that brings us to number 1, Cornflake, is Pet Shop Boys' West End Girls.
Wow. Well, now I'm curious whatever happened to the Pet Shop Boys.
I think Pet Shop Boys are still out there somewhere.
Interesting.
Oh, sure. All right. Well, this is unmistakably May 1986.
For sure.
Thanks to my mistake, we got a whole weird show out of it.
I think you could call that failing upward. At least that's what I'm going to call it.
Well, it got us through another week of the show, you know?
It's true.
We did it. We're done. Get us out of here.
Okay. Go on over to flopcast.net, everyone. That is our website. We're at facebook.com/flopcast. On Twitter, our handle is @flopcast. And we're on Instagram, the_flopcast is our handle there. If you go on over to Apple Podcasts, you could leave us a rating or a review for the show. That would make it so that other listeners could find the Flopcast. Wouldn't that be great? Music for the Flopcast is written and performed by the Sponge Awareness Foundation.
Oh, back in May 1986, Sponge Awareness, our big plan for success was we were going to collaborate with Ladysmith Black Mambazo. And it turned out, for some reason, they were busy that night. But we got along just fine without them. Cornflake, thanks for a trip back to the Julian Lennon music video era with me. This was probably a huge mistake, but either way, everybody, of course, be safe, be kind, be silly, and we will see you here next week.
Peace and cookies.
This Labor Day weekend, fandom is calling. Let Michael, Mike, Darren, and Jen help you answer the call with the latest news, notes, tips, and tricks on the DragonCon Report. Available as an audio podcast, visit DragonConReport.com, and for the first time ever, watch us on video via Facebook Live and YouTube. We want to help you celebrate your fandom in all the best ways. So listen up, and we'll see you at the con.
Okay, Cornflakes, secret after show. Hello.
Hi.
You know, for the after show, I just thought we'd take a peek at what was on TV the next night back in May 86.
Sunday night TV.
Sunday night, yeah. We were looking at Saturday, May 10th during the real show. Now for the after show, I just flipped ahead to the TV listings for Sunday, May 11th, and there was some interesting stuff on that night. Well, we've got some Silver Spoons.
Now that's the good stuff.
Yeah, they used to put on Silver Spoons and Punky Brewster in the 7 o'clock hour. It'd go up against 60 Minutes.
Oh.
They figure all the adults are watching 60 Minutes, so then ABC would have The Wonderful World of Disney, and then NBC put on Silver Spoons and Punky Brewster. So then the kids had to decide, do you want sitcoms? Do you want Disney?
I think I picked Disney.
Well, Silver Spoons, this episode was called Second Best. Ricky is tired of his girlfriend Holly doing everything better than him. I don't remember that one.
Oh, wah.
Yeah, poor Ricky. You idiot. Over on Disney, meanwhile, The Wonderful World of Disney was showing something. I don't remember this at all. They were showing a movie called Young Again. And this is another one of those, like, adult turns into a kid or switches with a kid kind of a movie.
I'm sure I saw it. It's not ringing a bell.
But this was ahead of the curve, because this was 1986. This was before, you know, Big with Tom Hanks and 18 Again, and Like Father, Like Son, and Vice Versa. That stuff all came after this. Young Again. Yeah, it says, a successful but unhappy businessman wishes to be 17 again and gets it. However, he discovers that going back is not all it's cracked up to be. That's the description. Lindsay Wagner is in this. That's the bionic woman. So that's cool. And then the guy, adult guy, is Robert Urich, who was, you know, Spencer for Hire and eventually the captain of the Love Boat when they did Love Boat the Next Wave in the 90s. The young version, he switches back to being 17 years old, and now he's Keanu Reeves.
Wow.
Well, I definitely did not watch this, and I did not know that it existed until just now.
I'm sure I watched it.
Did you watch it?
I'm sure I did not recognize anybody in it, but I'm sure I watched it.
You were a regular Disney viewer back then.
Yes.
Yeah, I totally missed out on this. Clearly, I was watching Ricky and Alfonso.
Of course.
I made a huge mistake.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping for the TeePublic store, which can all be found at esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.